Good evening. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we praise you this evening for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord God, that you carry us. You're always with us. We thank you for your spirit that gives life to our mortal bodies, moment by moment. We love you tonight, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, because we know that you do all things, Lord God. It gives an opportunity for something new to happen. It gives an opportunity for us to be strengthened in our spirit man, for us to see new things in the spirit realm, Lord God, and that we can live and be transformed to be more like you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're about to do. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're about to do. I pray for faith to be in the house tonight, Lord God, for what you are going to do. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I love coming to the house of the Lord. There is something when we step into his presence. It's powerful. It's tangible. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. And I love that you're here tonight. I love that God in all of his wisdom has placed us in the body of Christ, that we're covered and surrounded by him, in him, that we have each other to spur one another on, to uncover, to encourage, to pour into, to challenge, to enjoy the Lord together in his abundance. I like laughing with you. It's like medicine to my soul. If you don't know me, I like joking around. And it is a good time. I thank Pastor Ivan and Cindy for the opportunity to speak this evening. I know you guard the pulpit. You desire for good seed to be sown. It's humbling to be standing where you usually are and where you have sown in my life so many years. Don't you just love him? So I'm excited to get into his word and talk about our Heavenly Father. A.W. Tozer, he said, each day presents a new opportunity to experience God. This is a sacred expectation for us. Are you expecting tonight? Are you expecting tonight? Because I'm believing this is no ordinary night. I don't have to wait for Sunday to meet God. I don't have to wait for something earth-shaking to happen for me to encounter the most holy God. All he's wanting is an expectant heart, a heart that is seeking after him, who wants to know him more and will yield to his movement in your life. That's all. I want to lay a foundation tonight. We know that in these, especially in these last days, we're going to face many trials, challenges. We're going to walk through difficult times, and I know many of you are. And 1 Peter said, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. You know, when I got saved around 20 years old, and I kind of thought that everything would be okay and life was going to get better. And I will say that in some ways it did, but I will also say that I had to walk through some pretty challenging and dark times. So the fiery trials should not be surprising, but we do have a promise that God is going to be there with us through it all, and he's bringing us through it all. We know our trials are temporary. 1 Peter 5 and 10, it says, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, secure, strengthen you, and establish you. That's what he's going to do this evening. There's benefits to going through trials, challenges, hardships. They are not wasted. 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond comparison. 1 Peter 1, 6-7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more precious than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, in praise, in praise, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's what happens. The good thing is that when we get to heaven, we're going to see him in his fullness, but we know on earth that through trials that we get to see him in a new and fresh way. We get fresh revelation. So we don't have to wait until we get to heaven. James 1, 2, and 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy." Yeah. "But consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Not lacking anything. Romans 5, 3, 5, it says, "Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." I love that we can know his love through his Holy Spirit, to know his love. It's not just knowing about his love. We can hear all kinds of things. I heard God loves you so many times before I ever knew Jesus myself, but he revealed his love to me, and I will tell you, it changed everything. It changed what I desired. It changed where I wanted to go on the weekends. It changed what I wanted to allow come out of my mouth. It changed what I was allowing to set before my eyes. It changed the desires of my soul, because I came in contact with a heavenly Father, the King of all kings, who saved my soul and loves me. And he loves you. That alone is transforming. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. It's food when times get difficult. Hebrews 12:11, it says, "No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it." Your trial is not for nothing. There's a purpose and a plan for everything that God allows you to go through. And he is working on your behalf even now. I want you to believe that and receive it. They're producing a far greater glory. He's making you complete, lacking nothing, that whatever may come in the days ahead, that you remain steadfast in the face of adversity, that you don't shrink back in fear, that you don't pull back when darkness comes, that you don't grow faint when the mountain seems too big in front of you, but that you will stand firm and bold in him. He is helping you to rely upon him at all times, because you know that even when you are weak, he is what? He's strong. And he's going to reveal himself to you as strong, because it's been a battle. It may feel like it's battle after battle and attack after attack, but he is going to bring you through. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. We're going to go through a couple different things. I got my notes kind of messed up here, it looks like. That's okay. When I was praying for this service specifically, first of all, I'm so grateful that God gives us visions, that he can open up our eyes and give us understanding to things in ways that we never understood before. And it can bring not only encouragement and food for us, but people around us, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to feast on what he has for us this evening. So as I was praying, he gave me this vision. He gave his word. He gave counsel to bring me into complete understanding. And I hope that I can bring you into that. I believe this vision was twofold. For a specific person or persons, but it also provides for us understanding and instruction for persevering and overcoming, especially what you may be going through and in the last days. So we remain steadfast. We know in whom we believe, persevere. We walk from and in victory, and we bring others through. Isn't that our purpose? Anyway, so he revealed to me a soldier, a warrior of God, armed for battle, completely dressed in armor from head to toe. At first, I only saw the warrior alone in a desolate place. Everywhere I looked, it was scorched earth. It was ashes, smoke. Everything was destroyed. It was barren. There appeared to be no living thing left. Amongst this desolation was the soldier kneeling down at the ground and at the desolation from a low vantage point. He was kneeling down. The soldier initially was alone in the vision because the soldier felt alone, fighting alone. Felt like there was no help in wondering if there is any good that is going to come out of this. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been feeling like the battle has just been nonstop? There's no help, there's no reprieve, and it looks like desolation all around. What good is going to come out of that? That's the cry of our soul. Lord God, what is going to come out of it? What good can possibly come out of what I've just been through and what I continue to go through? And as I'm looking at the soldier and the scorched earth and the natural, my spiritual eyes were opened, and I saw the Lord standing there next to the soldier, covering him, hovering over the soldier, and feeding him his word. I've seen these really neat pictures of, it was a hawk. And it was in the middle of winter. It was gray. It was ugly. It was nasty. It was a storm all around. And underneath the wings were these two babies. It was protection. It was guarding. It was like that. And I'm looking, and the Lord began to show me that the feeding him his word, he was sustaining that soldier by his word. He was putting his bread into his mouth. He attends to you by his word. His mighty spirit, and even amongst the ashes, he will cause you to be well nourished and a well watered garden. He will give you a word that sustains. Psalms 19:7-8, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life." Can you imagine being in that moment and God literally gives you a word that begins to revive your soul and restore your joy and bring you back to life again? He's done it for me. He's done it for me. I know there's others. Psalm 119, 114, it says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Verse 25, "I lie in the dust, completely discouraged. Revive me by your word." Verse 28, "I weep with grief. Encourage me by your word." Verse 50, "Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles." Verse 52, "I meditate on your age-old laws. Oh, Lord, they comfort me." Verse 143 is, "Pressure and stress bear down on me. I find joy in your commands. Are any of you bearing down under pressure and stress this evening? I pray you find joy in his commands tonight. They will give you joy. What I saw demonstrated, it demonstrated a promise from the Lord that we see mirrored in Psalm 91. It says, those who live in the shelter of the presence will find rest in my shadow. I am your refuge. I am your place of safety. I am your God. Trust me. I am shielding you with my wings, and I will shelter you with my feathers. My faithful promises are your armor and protection. I didn't see this before, but he just showed me this now. That soldier thought he was alone that whole time, but he was fully armed already. God's word is your armor and protection. And even before he got into that battle, he was already armed with the word, and we need to be armed with the word because it will be your protection. Even when you feel all alone, even when you are standing alone, that his word stands, it will guard you, it will keep you, it will show you the path that you're supposed to take, and it will reveal that he's been with you the whole time. I love the psalmist saying in Psalm 68:19, praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. Turn your ear to listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap of my enemies set before me, for I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them. And in Psalm 18, they attacked me at a moment when I was weakest. Have you ever felt like you couldn't get beat down any further? Like life could just not give you any more. And sometimes the ones that are closest to you are the ones that can hurt us the most. And sometimes they know you're at your place where you're at your weakest. I'm not trying to be harsh. It's the truth. It's just the things that we live through. Psalms 18, they attacked me at a moment when I was weakest, but the Lord upheld me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. Psalms 37, or 31, 7 through 8, it says, I am overcome with joy because your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to my enemy, but have set me in a safe place. He sees where you are. He knows the anguish of your soul. He has seen you in your alone place. When you get alone and you allow yourself to feel those things and life just seems to bear down, you can be alone in the natural, but you're not alone. He sees it all. And he's still your place of safety. He's still the one that delights in you, loves you, is guarding you, sheltering you. So as I'm looking in this vision, I saw the Lord both sheltering this soldier and also, as he's sheltering, I saw hands reaching out to this soldier, attending to him. As if it was healing balm to burns. I want you to grasp that. He not only shelters and protects you, but even in that, he is constantly tending to you. And you may feel like you are completely burned up, that there is nothing left. But the Lord is applying his healing salve to you. And even though there's time for us to heal, and we know that when we've come through, when we're walking through and we've gone through something, there is a process of healing. It takes time. It doesn't feel good. Even the healing can be painful. Can I get an amen? Even in the healing, it can be painful. But I'm telling you, he's attending to your wounds. He's healing you. He's bringing you through. And the good thing about the Lord, he just doesn't restore you to what you were. He makes you even stronger because that's who he is. He fortifies you. He strengthens you. He gives you tougher skin. Don't you love that? He can do all things. He's the God of the impossible. Psalms 91, verses 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with a long life and give them my salvation. That's a promise. Whatever you're going through isn't going to take you out. It is not going to take you out. He is leading you through to completion. The soldier was unaware in his spiritual what was happening. And he was wondering if he could even get up at that point. And the Lord took this soldier by the hand, lifted him up, and steadied him. Psalms 145, 14, the Lord helps the fallen and lifts up those bent beneath their loads. Psalms 37, 23, 24, the steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord holds them by his hand. He has you in his hand. He's the mighty God. He's stronger than anything. He's not going to let anything happen to you. You know, it reminds me when my nephew and I we hike in the river is what we do. We don't always use the trails in the woods. We hike up the river. We're going through deep water over boulders. And when he was little, I never let go of his hand. And he knew as long as I have her hand, she's going to get me through. I am safe and I don't have to worry. And it's the same thing with the Lord. That you may be traversing some unknown territory, some things that actually look scary, and that if you did not have him, you might not make it. But if you are in his hand, he is going to bring you through. And we don't even have to worry. He takes our anxieties. We can fully trust in him, that he leads us through. He's leading you through. He's standing with you. He's never left you in battle. He's been fighting with you, and he's been giving strength to your mortal body. And as the soldier was standing there, he's looking out at the rubble, is what it was. It was ashes and smoke. I mean, it was a war zone. And at that point, you can imagine what the soldier could be feeling and thinking. Hopelessness, discouragement. I don't think I can go on. There's nothing good that's going to come out of this. And we can see our problems and our trials like that. We can look at situations that are going on in our life, and we look at them, and it's been so hard for so long, and we've seen nothing for so long that we literally think that it's all going up in smoke. There's no hope. What life can come out of this? And do you know what Jesus took me to? I love this, and I'm going to read it. This is a scripture for this season. I will say that. Ezekiel 37. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." It's probably what the soldier was feeling, only you know. I don't see it. I assume you know. Then he said to me, "Speak to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.' That is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke these words just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as they had before. And then I watched as muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath. Then he said to me, "Speak to the winds and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these bodies so that they may live again.' So I spoke as he commanded me, and the wind entered the bodies and they began to breathe. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army of them." Now I will say this. Jesus was teaching us something there. The soldier was looking out to the desolation of battles that he was fighting. It was representing battles in his family. Lost loved ones he's been praying for and believing for. That seem like they are just so deep in the clutches of the enemy. Places that he's been praying and believing that God's going to move mightily, that he's going to water once again, that he's going to revive things, revive dreams, that he's going to bring fresh life even into him, that there's going to be reprieve. The soldier was looking out over his life, and God told him to speak life into that. What only appears to be dead. And so the soldier began to speak over the dead things. And he didn't see anything right away. He didn't. I don't know about you, but I think, you know, when we experience that, we start to question. We might get discouraged. We might start to think, well, what was the purpose in that? Did God really tell me to do that? Does God really do what he says he's going to do? Has he really given me authority and the power to proclaim these things? What's wrong with me that I'm not seeing anything? God knows all those questions, first of all. He knows everything that we struggle with. He knows all the questions, and he still loves you. And we're going to get to that. But this is what I love that I saw. The Lord said, "Don't look with your natural eyes. Don't look with your natural eyes. Or you will not see." We have to open up our spiritual eyes. We are in a season where we have to be so in tune that we discern what's happening in the spirit, that our spiritual ears are attuned to what's happening. Because if we look at situations in the natural, we're not going to see God's activity. That's just the way that it is. We can be in the service and we can know that there are things going on, but we're not perceiving and receiving in the spirit because we're not even attuned in the spirit. We need to perceive things in the spirit. So don't look with your natural eyes. Look with your spiritual eyes. And speaking the word, it's calling forth people out of darkness again and into his marvelous light. It's speaking to the sickness, that disease, that ailment that you've had that you can't seem to overcome. It's as you speak before your eyes. If you look with the spirit, you're going to start to see the prayer you've been praying begin to be answered. There's going to be a shift that starts to take place. There's going to be something that begins to happen. It might be small at first, but there is something that's going to start to happen because God waits to perform his word. And if we would only receive his word and know what it is that we're supposed to stand on and proclaim in that season, he's waiting to perform it. And we know that he's faithful to do it. He's going to bring it to pass. And all we have to do is be stewards of his word. Believe it and proclaim it and stand on it. And if we start to question or falter, we get back on it and we believe it once again. Do you know what he told me a couple weeks ago? I've been walking through some things. I was joking with Pastor Cindy. I said, Pastor Cindy, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I need help. My feelings were all over the place. My feelings do a lot of things. Your feelings do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And then we get into our little attitudes. And then it can just get ugly. And then the Lord's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, you know, sorry about that. I need to go back to, I think I need your help, Lord. Back to my feelings. And he showed me, you know, because I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm a therapist, all right? So I'm all good with medicine. And I'm like, maybe I need medicine. I'm just being real with you, okay? You know what the Lord said? Amanda, I'm going to put my bread in your mouth every day. And every time that you start to struggle, I want you to write that down. I want you to put it in your pocket. When you start to struggle, I want you to take it out and take your medicine. My word is your medicine. So when I start to struggle, when I start to question, wonder, bear down with stress, anxiety, when the load starts to get too heavy, when I start to wonder where he is in all of this, that he's giving me a word and I pull it out and I take my medicine. And it fixes my eyes on him again. It realigns me with his spirit. It brings everything into alignment, my thoughts, my emotions, my flesh, and I walk in the spirit. Some of us just need to take our medicine. We need to get out the word and take our medicine. Not just on a Sunday when, thank God, Pastor Ivan feeds us. We need to take it. Every time we need it, we should be dwelling in it, dwelling in the word, carrying it with us. It's not something just to let at home. It's your medicine. It gives you life. It brings healing to your body. If you get nothing else, take your medicine. So the Lord started to take the soldier by the hand. He began to lead the soldier by hand around holes in the ground, burning rubble, and guided him through and wouldn't let the soldier fall. Psalm 66:9, it says, he preserves our lives and keeps our feet from slipping. Psalm 94:18, it says, if I say my foot is slipping, your devotion, your loving devotion, O Lord, supports me. And he led this soldier to a place near the ashes and the smoke. And he says, I want you to look. And there in the ash was this little tiny green plant. This little tiny green plant of life. It was that new thing that was bursting forth. That new thing that God was going to do. When all looked hopeless, when all looked like nothing was going to come out of it, that God did something. He performed his word, and that needs to encourage someone this evening, because God is going to begin to do something, and he's going to begin to shift some things this evening if you will only receive the word that he has for you, because he has a word. It's like a custom piece jewelry that Proverbs says just for you, that he's made just for you, and he's going to perform it. I'm going to talk about something else, but it goes along with it. We're going to go through Psalm 73. It's a psalm by Asaph. I didn't know much about him, to be honest. There are supposedly three Asaphs mentioned in the Bible, but this Asaph was during David's time. He was a priest, a chief minister of music, a worshiper. He served in the tabernacle. He was on the front lines. He knew the laws and customs. He knew what was holy and unholy, and lived upholding God's standards. He opens up the psalm with a declaration, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure." He understood, as we know from Matthew 5:8, that God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they see God. He understood that. But we see in verse 2 that Asaph, this minister and worshiper in the house of David, was looking around at him. He began to struggle. He began to falter. And in verse 2, he says, "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost God. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness." He was dismayed. He was confused. And so Asaph is seeing all the wickedness around him. He sees people living in sin, not honoring God, but yet somehow they seem to prosper. And he's really wondering, where is God in all of this? And so Asaph, this man of God, really begins to question. In verse 13, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day. Every morning brings me pain." Have you ever been there, where you're following after the Lord? You live close with him. You have an intimate relationship with him. Your heart desires him more than anything else. But yet, it seems like every day your heart is in pain. You're in anguish. You're facing troubles all around. And you begin to question, is it even worth it? Because you're seeing people living in sin and they seem to prosper. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Because I was brought out of darkness into the light at a late enough age to where everything had to transform in my life. And there were times to where it was hard. It was hard. I had to say no. I had to set boundaries with people. I lost all of my friends. I'm talking to you, to people here, and being real. I didn't do the things I used to do. God was pruning away some things. And I started to question, well, what's the purpose in all of this? I'm not really seeing a benefit in this moment. But Lord God, I love you. You've done good things for my life. But where are you in all of this? Is this really going to be worth it? Have you ever been there, or am I alone in that? We're being real tonight. It's his cry. He's discouraged. He's disillusioned. Why, God? Is being committed really worth it? Is keeping myself pure and not living like the world really worth it? Because right now I'm struggling to see it. Asaph wrestled, and in verse 16, "So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it was." I remember I was looking all around. I was trying to find answers. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I was really tormented and upset by this. And of course, I couldn't find the answer in myself. But how many times are we wrestling with something? We wrestle with something. And it is difficult when we're in the battle, a storm, a fiery trial, and a crisis of faith. It's a desperation that comes that if I can just understand what is going on, if I could just understand why this is happening, if I could just get a grasp on it, if I can make sense of why I'm going through this, then I think I can remain on the path. I think I can remain steadfast. Asaph was trying to figure out on his own, but in all of his striving, he came up with nothing. He finally came to an end of himself. And then he looked to God. And in verse 17, where'd he go? He said, "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood." And Asaph proclaims in verse 18, "Truly you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction." He explained it to Asaph. He finally understood. When he determined to seek the Lord, he went to the sanctuary, the temple of the Most High God, the sacred, secret place where his Holy Spirit is, and he got into the presence of the Lord. It was there that God gave fresh revelation, where God opened up the eyes of his understanding, where God revealed facets of his character. Asaph was no longer questioning and confused. He now knew that God was just and righteous. Some of us need to get into the presence of the Lord. Some of us just need to get back into the secret, sacred place once again. Because that is a place of transformation. That's where things, where he reveals his kingdom and his glory. And we don't come out of that place the same as when we went in. We don't believe the same things we did before. We're not bound by the same things. We're not limited in our thinking the way we were before. Because he opens up the eyes of our understanding. And we come out of there smelling a little different. We come out of there looking a little more like Jesus. We come out of there a little bit more steadfast and firm and strong in our faith in Jesus, who we are in him and who he is to us. We need to get back to that sacred, secret place again. Pull away throughout your day. Find a place in your home. Go in your vehicle. Go in the closet. Go throw your kids some snacks. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't have kids, so that might just be a horrible mess. Anyway, it was funny in my head. We need to get back to that place. We need to seek the Lord in our trials, questioning, doubting. Isaiah 55, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And you know what I found in Proverbs 16:1? Because I'm telling you, this is fresh. Because I'm telling you, we're all kind of going through some things here. And you know what I found in Proverbs 16:1 that was food and medicine for my soul this week? We can gather our thoughts, but the Lord gives the right answer. I was like, oh, Lord, you're right. You're right, Lord. You're right. Had to take my medicine, and I've been taking that ever since. There are times that God may allow us to walk through some things, to endure, to question. We might become discouraged, disheartened, disillusioned. But if we draw close to him and press in, he will come to know him in a new way. He's not put off by your questions. He doesn't look down on those who need his help and understanding. His word says, if you lack wisdom, do what? To ask. Just ask. Just ask him. If you need something, just ask him. What a loving father that is. My child, if you need something, just ask me, because I'll give it to you. I love you. Everything of mine is yours anyway. He's waiting with arms wide open. He has all the treasures. He just wants you to ask and go to him for it. I'm going to give you a personal example. Growing up, there were things that were very difficult in the home. I won't get into that. But I remember there was a time when I was a teenager that I ran out of the back door and I ran down the backyard behind the barn. And I remember looking up to the sky and crying out, "God, where are you? If you're real, where are you?" I was angry and so hurt. And I didn't understand. I wasn't saved. But I was crying out. I wanted to know where he was. Why are you letting this happen? I remember what the sky looked like and everything. And I remember, I didn't hear anything, and I sat down on a concrete block, and I just sat there. And I didn't get an answer. But what I do recall is that I started to feel peace. My mind started to become calm. And I remember just sitting there, and I had renewed strength. And I remember just getting up, and I just went about my day. And for what was going on, that was a pretty big deal. Now, fast forward, after I got saved, I had seen the goodness of the Lord. He had helped me in so many ways. But I was still that child wondering where he was. I wanted to understand, Lord God, where were you in all of that? If you're truly a good, loving father, where were you in all of that? Why did you let me go through those things? They were hurtful. I felt like they changed me into something I never should have been. I dealt with things I never should have had to do. Where were you in all of that? He's not put off by your questions, and he will reveal the answer. And I am so grateful. And I got alone in my bedroom, and I'm laying in my bed with my Bible open, my lap, and I'm asking him these questions. And you know what he revealed to me? He revealed this dark-haired little girl. It was me, I guess. She was behind this chair in the living room I grew up with, and she was crying, and she was scared. And you know who was sitting right next to her? Jesus. And he revealed to me in that moment that he let me go through some things, but he was with me the whole time, that he protected me, that there are times that throughout my childhood, people will say, you're so strong. I don't understand how you're so strong. And after I got saved, I understood why I was so strong, because the Lord was with me the whole time. Even before I knew him, he loved me and cared for me, and he gave me strength. And even when you don't know he's there, he is with you. He's there with you, protecting you. He's your shield. He's your covering. He's bringing you through. And I will say, my early childhood, I felt like that soldier. A big part of my life, I didn't know what was going to come out of that, but he was with me the whole time, feeding me, strengthening me. In his kindness, he showed me that. He preserved my life. I share this because I believe there are people who can relate to that little girl. I believe the situations might be different, but you can relate to how she felt, her questions. Your faith might be shaken. You need a fresh revelation this evening in your situation. But God wants you to know he loves you. You've never been alone because he's been by your side. He wants to heal some deep places. I mean deep places. Why is that so important? Because we need to know that we know his faithfulness and his goodness. We need healed of wounds so the enemy doesn't have a playground in them. So we can open our arms wide open and receive the fullness of who God is and remain steadfast in him. And here's the next thing in that psalm with Asaph. It says, then I realized how bitter I had become, how pained I had been by all I had seen. First, when we go through fiery trials, attacks, someone hurting us, we can take up things in our heart, unbelief, bitterness, resentment, pride, being self-indulgent, spirit of rebellion. We can start to dabble in sin. And if I'm truly honest and transparent, I went through a lot of those things. I'm telling you, he was bringing me through a lot. And thank God, it's when we get into his presence and behold his face, it's like holding up that mirror to reveal things in us that don't line up with his word, with his will, and things that need to come out or be laid aside, because it can shipwreck your faith. That's why he cares. It can stunt your spiritual growth, hinder the fruit he wants to produce in you. And sometimes it's ugly and it's foul and we don't even know it's there. There's things that he's revealed to me. I didn't even know that that ugly, foul thing was there. And in the moments when we see what's unholy in the face of God, who is holy, we can start to feel ashamed, unlovable, condemned, and wonder how God can even love a wretch like me. But it's not to make you feel ashamed or condemned. God is putting his finger on it so you can yield to him, get rid of it, and he can transform you glory to glory. That's the season that we're in. We are in that sort of season because he is taking his bride somewhere. He is purifying his bride. He is refining his bride. He is strengthening his bride because the things ahead is going to be more challenging than the things that you have already faced. That's the time that we're in. But he cares about you, that he's preparing you now. We're in that season. But look in verse 22, it says, I was so foolish and arrogant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, yet I still belong to you, and you are holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. He's still faithful. He goes on to say, whom have I have in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Wow, what a transformation from the beginning to the end. That's what he does in our life. So you can't give up now. You've come too far. Even if it gets difficult in the times ahead, you can't give up. It's not going to take you out. If you rest in him and you cling to him like the word tells us to, he's going to rescue you. He's going to preserve your life. And you're going to get to know him in the meantime. Stand strong. Don't grow weary. Steady your tired knees. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and finisher of your faith. Remain faithful. God wants to do something tonight. He does. I know what time it is. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I just want us to take a moment, just a moment. God can do miraculous things in just one moment when we yield to him. 2 minutes. He doesn't even need that. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you want to play something. It's okay if you do or if you don't. But would you yield to him this evening? He knows right where you are. He wants to do a new thing in you. Even if you're not going through a trial, he wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to bring you through. He wants to reveal himself to you again. He wants to steady your knees. Even if you feel strong now, there's more in him. He is the God of the impossible. And I'm asking, if anybody wants prayer, if any of this has resonated with you, if you know that you have wounds, if you've had questions, if you're going through a trial, God wants to strengthen you this evening, and we're going to pray with you. Then he's going to bring you through. He's going to give you a word for your medicine, for your soul. He's going to give you a fresh anointing. Do you want it this evening? Because he's here. I'm going to ask you to come. Just come. We'll pray with you.